Okay, today we come to Acts chapter 5. Actually, yes, Acts chapter 5. And we resume our study in verse 17. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And it says, then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands upon the apostles and put them in the common prison. You know, the problem with these religious leaders is that they had a sinful self-focus instead of a God focus. And I suppose that's at the root of all sins. Person thinks that they're more important than God. They must, or they wouldn't commit sin. And in confession, we come to our senses and admit that God is more important than us and we shouldn't have acted the way we did. Problem is, these religious leaders never came to that point in their life, it seems like. They saw themselves as being worthy of praise instead of admitting that God is the only one who is worthy of praise. And it says in verse 19, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth. And so without the guards knowing it, this angel opened the prison doors and walked the two apostles out safely. Verse 20, the angel says, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. In other words, the angel commands them to go to the Jewish temple where all the Jews gather and preach the message that got them arrested in the first place. And the apostles will do it. And they will do it boldly because they know that Jesus is bigger than the authorities who arrested them. Like right here. The authorities arrested them, but God overruled and unarrested them. You can afford to boldly proclaim the written word of God and live for Jesus with a God like that on your side. And notice also, they were rescued from the prison and they were told to go preach in the temple again. So there's a lesson. If God spares us from some trial, or perhaps a serious illness, or maybe a close call of some sort, then it is for the purpose of serving him. 21. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. Boy, they didn't waste any time. They were at the temple at daybreak. In other words, they obeyed just as fast as they possibly could with no thought of their own safety. 21. And when they heard that, they entered the temple, into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came and those who were with him and called the council together with all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. And notice verse 22. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing outside before the doors. But when we had opened them, we found no man within. Imagine that. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they were in doubt about them as to where this would grow. Well, the guards discovered that they had been guarding an empty prison. Doors were still locked, but there was nobody in it. So consequently, they were confused. Suppose they were, huh? They were confused, all right. God warns that he will curse the wicked with, among other things, confusion, perplexing, disrupting, frustrating things happen to the impenitent sinner as a consequence of their sin. Verse 25, then there came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. In other words, the men you put in jail for preaching Jesus by the temple are by the temple preaching Jesus, and that's why they aren't in jail. 26. Then the captain went with his officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. In order to obey God and preach Jesus, the apostles disobeyed the rulers. They disobeyed, but they also willingly submitted to the consequences of their disobedience. They didn't put up a fight when they were arrested. They didn't say, You can't arrest us, we're doing the work of the Lord. No, they submitted to the authorities. 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we strictly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. In other words, we told you not to talk about Jesus, but you disobeyed and have filled Jerusalem with talk about Jesus. You're guilty. And you know what? If the only charge our enemies can make against us is that we are obedient to Christ, then we're in pretty good shape. So he says, Behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. They say, Not only are you preaching Jesus, but you're also blaming us for his death. Well, no kidding. The apostles did blame them. But they also offered them forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Truth must be proclaimed so that sinners feel guilty. Truth must be proclaimed in order to give guilty sinners an opportunity to confess and repent before it is too late. The apostles are trying to get these guilty religious rulers to repent by proclaiming the Word of God. You know, entertainment doesn't save anyone. Watered down, unspiritual slop that some people call sermons do not save anyone either. Doesn't, I should say, save anyone either. Doesn't do any good. Straightforward, uncompromised proclamation of the holiness of God, the damnation of sinners, and the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ are the only things that will bring a lost sinner to their knees. 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God rather than men. Whoever the authority may be, they are only people. And no one has a right to tell you to do something that is contrary to Scripture. And we have no right to obey them if they do. 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. And when they told these religious rulers that they killed the one God raised from the dead, they were stepping on a tiger's tail. I bet you their faces got red with anger, but truth is truth. And the apostles had to obey God with their words as well as their actions, no matter who didn't like it. And so do we, by the way. So do we. 31. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Repentance is a gift of God's grace. We couldn't choose to repent apart from God's grace. And we wouldn't choose to repent apart from God's grace. We don't have it in us. And if we do repent and receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God gives us another gift. He gives us the gift of repentance, and if we do, we get the gift of forgiveness. 32. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Notice that. The Holy Spirit is given by God to those who obey him. The Holy Spirit is given by God to those who submit to him, which is what obedience means, by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit is for the obedience. You say, well, we can't earn salvation by obeying God. You're right. But the only way to receive the gift of salvation is by choosing to receive it, which is an act of obedience. I have heard some people, some preachers, some theologians say that it is wrong to tell others that they must receive Jesus Christ. They are just absolutely paranoid about someone attempting to work their way to heaven. But it goes too far. You can't tell somebody to receive Christ. They say that constitutes working for your salvation. No, it doesn't. If I give you a gift, you must choose to reach out and take it from me, or you won't possess it. That's not earning the gift. Reaching out and taking it is not earning the gift. That's receiving the gift. Do you see the difference? And that's how salvation works. It is a gift from God through Jesus Christ, but you must receive it. You must choose to receive it. 33. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. They plotted to murder the apostles. They weren't interested in trying them in a court of law, and if they were found guilty, having them executed. That wasn't good enough. They were so angry that they wanted to murder Peter and the others. And so we see that this was not about righteousness, and it wasn't about justice. It was about hatred, pure and simple. 34. Then there stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, held in honor among all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside a little while. Gamaliel was a respected man. He had been one of the Apostle Paul's professors back in the early days. So he has something to say to this mob, his fellow Jewish rulers. 35, he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourself what ye intend to do concerning these men. In other words, be careful what you plan on doing to Peter and the other followers of Jesus. Gamaliel doesn't want his fellow Jews to do anything rash. 36, for before these days, Theudas rose up, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing, and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work is of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest it may happen ye be found even to fight against God. And with him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles back and had beaten them, let's just stop there for a second. You know, concerning Gamaliel's words, in the long term, his observation is true. God's people will be victorious in the end, and truth will win out in the end. But the outward success of a movement or the continuation of a religious movement or experience doesn't mean that it is of God. Jesus talks about the weeds and the wheat growing together until the end of the age. At that time, what is of God will be separated from what is not of God at that time.